Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. Today we're starting a new series. It's titled simply Destiny, and we're going to talk about what you have to know to find and fulfill your destiny. Jesus told us it's really easy to miss God's destiny for our lives. He said, "Enter in at the narrow gate." In Matthew 22, verse 14, Jesus wrapped up a parable focused on those who were literally missing their God-given destiny. And when he concludes the parable of the marriage feast, he uses this verse, Matthew 22, verse 14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." One of the most fundamental reasons that people miss their destiny is because they're scattered. They fail to invest intentionally into the season that God has them now. Gordon Dahl, in a book written in 1972, a number of years ago, the book was titled Work, Play, and Worship. He said this, "Most middle-class Americans tend to worship their work, to work at their play, and play at their worship. As a result, their meanings and values are distorted. Their relationships disintegrate faster than they can keep them in repair, and their lifestyles resemble a cast of characters in search of a plot." I love his phraseology. It's true, isn't it? We sure can look scattered, and in reality, often are scattered. Trace Atkins popularized a song a number of years ago. It's simply titled, "You're Gonna Miss This." And the emphasis is missing the sacredness of the season that you're in right now. The lyrics go like this. "She was staring out that window of that SUV, complaining, saying, 'I can't wait till I turn 18. She said, I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school. Then she kissed her head and said, I was just like you. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. So take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss this." Before she knows it, she's a brand new bride in a one-bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her, "It's a nice place." She says, "It'll do for now." Starts talking about babies and buying a house. Daddy shakes his head and says, "Baby, just slow down. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss this." 5 years later, there's a plumber working on the water heater, dogs barking, phones ringing, one kid's crying, one kid's screaming. She keeps apologizing. He says, "They don't bother me. I got two babies of my own. One's 36 and one's 23. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. So take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss this." I like the song because it talks about what we so easily fall into. Gordon Dahl's phrase, "Our lifestyles resemble a cast of characters in search of a plot." That's so descriptive to me. It's easy to miss the sacred because of the tyranny of the urgent. It's easy to lose the sacredness of the season that you're in right now, that I'm in right now, because we live so much for the future. Where we're going and what we want becomes all-consuming. So I want to lay down a foundation that I could simply title and be accurate. This is a theology from Scripture about your destiny. So let's look at a few things. The first is this. You and I really need to know from Scripture that we have been chosen by God. Everyone who fulfills their destiny by God tends to be driven by a consuming understanding that they have been chosen. Is it biblical? You better believe it is. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Did you catch that? You were chosen not only before you were born, you were chosen before the world was created. A friend of mine was ministering years ago in Dalton, Georgia, holding a crusade there. Gave the invitation, and there was a pregnant lady that came and knelt in the altar. Makeup was running down her face, and my friend Mark was standing there. And as he stood there, looking at the number of people coming to the altar and in the altar, he focused on her, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Her name is Gina." He had never seen her before that day in his life. And he went over as she's kneeling there, and he said, "Gina, would you like me to pray with you?" She looked up and said, "How did you know my name?" He said, "I don't know how I knew. I was standing over there and I just felt like the Lord say, 'Her name is Gina.'" She put her face on the platform and began to weep. She said she had been living an immoral life and her life was a mess. Her husband was leaving her. She was pregnant. "I was standing here praying," she said, "and the words that came out of my lips were these, 'God, have you forgotten my name?'" And that's when the Lord spoke to my friend and said, "Her name is Gina." I think that's true for you and for me. Do you know that you've been chosen? Do you know that you were on his mind before he even created the world? He even created the world with you in mind. Let me give you another theological foundation that it's essential for us to have. We need to know we're chosen. Absolutely. Ephesians 1:4. Secondarily, also in Ephesians, you need to know that you've been destined to live a life of influence. Listen in Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." God not only chose you, but he also created you for significance in this world. Those of you I know are ministry leaders, and many of you have taught and preached through the book of Ephesians. As a pastor, I spent 26 weeks in the book of Ephesians. I believe it is essential to get some foundational points of clarity. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul does in the first two sections of the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3 is the first section, and then chapter 4, verse 1 through Ephesians 6, verse 9 is the second section, and then the third is Ephesians 6, 10 through the end of the book. Now, in the first two sections, Paul spends the greatest amount of time talking about this is what Jesus has done for you and who you are to him. Therefore, this is how you need to live out your life in the world. Paul's theology about destiny covers two things very, very clearly in the first two sections of the book of Ephesians. Number one, he wanted them to know that they were chosen by God before the world was ever created. And secondarily, he wanted them to know that they were chosen long ago to bring forth specific purposes of God into the world. Ephesians 4 verse 1 is actually a transition point. Listen to the verse after he talks about that they have been chosen by God. And then in Ephesians 2 talks about that they were chosen for specific purposes. Catch his emphasis in Ephesians 4 verse 1. "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling." You have been called by God. Do you know what he's saying in essence? Here's a paraphrase. Because God has chosen you and appointed you for his purposes in this world, make sure you make your life count. Do you catch the twofold emphasis from John 15, verse 16, when Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth, bring forth fruit, and that your fruit would remain. So whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Do you catch the two kinds of emphases that Paul gave in Ephesians? Number one, Jesus wanted them to know they were chosen by God. Secondarily, they were chosen for significance in this world. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you, and I chose you to bring forth fruit." Paul's emphasis, you were chosen before the foundation of the world, and you were secondarily chosen to bring forth specific purposes. So Ephesians 4:1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, make sure you live your life worthy of your calling. God has given you a specific calling." And when you understand the theology behind destiny, God has chosen you and he has chosen you for significance. The only thing that is lacking is intentionality behind the investment of your life. I so appreciate teachers. Specifically, Ann Bird was a student in Miss Leonard's classroom years ago. Ann Bird grew up knowing that she was different. She was born with a cleft palate, and her classmates made it clear to her how she looked to them. They focused on her misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. Marianne Bird was convinced that no one outside her family could ever, ever love her. Marianne adored her second grade teacher, Mrs. Leonard. Mrs. Leonard was a short, round, and happy second grade teacher. Annually, she gave a hearing test. Now, it was a little different way back then. It was nothing like today. The child being tested would stand against the door and the teacher would whisper words on the other side of the door, and then the child would repeat. The teacher would say things like, "The sky is blue. Do you have new shoes?" And the child would repeat. But when it became Marianne Bird's turn to stand behind the door and to listen to the whispers of Mrs. Leonard, Mrs. Leonard said this, "I wish you were my little girl." Mary wrote about that story many years later because it was a hope moment. Do you know why hope moments come into people's lives with significance? They come because somebody has recognized, I have been chosen by God, and I have been chosen by God for significance. So therefore, I am going to invest my life with intentionality. I encourage you to join us next time as we talk about the next emphasis about destiny. But don't lose today's, don't lose this season. In this season right now, there are sacred purposes for you. It may not look like that. Matter of fact, your life or ministry may look like a mess. But listen to me. Don't get lost in the milieu of every voice around you. Don't get lost by living in the future. Rather, stay very focused. There are sacred moments and sacred duties and sacred priorities in the season that you are in right now. That's where you're going to find the Lord. That's where you're going to experience Him. So you got to have a really good theology about destiny. You were chosen by Him. Secondarily, you were chosen for significance for Him. I know at times it doesn't look like that, but I'm telling you, allow the Scripture to trump natural leanings when natural leanings pit you against the knowledge of God. You were chosen by Him and you were chosen for significance. And because of that, you have the privilege of investing your life in this season with these priorities, in the place God has you, with the purposes that He wants, with intentionality. And investing your life will make a difference for so many others. It all starts with a theology about your destiny in Christ. Head over to paultotimothy.com. You can find this podcast and others and other resources that we want to invest into your ministry leadership. Looking forward to being with you next time as we continue in this mini-series titled Destiny.